Let's talk to Bruce Williamson. He's from the campaign group Rail Futures. Bruce, thanks for joining us.
Good morning. We've spoken about this before, haven't we?
We have. It's funny that. I have a funny feeling we're going to talk about it in the future. This is quite bizarre that a strike is going ahead, even though there is no longer a dispute.
Yeah, well, I struggle to get my head around that one, but this is my understanding of it. It's a bit of a ruse, really. There is still a disagreement. The union don't agree with Southern Rail, but what they're saying is accept this deal, even though we don't agree with it, because that will prevent you from getting made redundant.
Now, bearing in mind that basically letters were going to go out, basically telling all the members, the drivers, that you are, and the guards, you are basically going to get a new contract on the 1st of January, and if you don't like it, you can leave.
Yeah, that's my understanding. So basically, I think that they put a spanner in the works by saying, OK, we'll accept that contract, but we don't agree with it, and we're going to carry on striking until we get what we want.
They suggested they accepted this deal to save jobs, but about 24 hours after Southern Rail had rescinded an offer which was to pay an extra £2,000 sort of bonus to anyone who accepted the deal, that offer was no longer on the table, and then the RMT accepted it. So they did a bit of a disservice in terms of the extra cash their members could have got.
I agree. It seems that the timing has been very poorly thought out there, because that offer expired last Thursday, I understand. Perhaps they could have handled that better. But, I mean, clearly that both sides are digging their heels in further and further on this, and I suspect we'll be discussing this in a few weeks' time.
Well, this is it. I mean, I do understand, it is bizarre when you read it. You think, what's going on? It is sort of laughable. And, yeah, if you are one of the poor, long-suffering commuters on Southern Rail, it really isn't. We've heard from people who've basically had to give up their jobs because they simply cannot make it to and from work every day. People have got kids in childcare. You know, you get fined a massive amount if you don't pick them up on time, quite apart from the fact you probably quite want to spend some time with your kids. Our journeys that should be taking an hour and a half, are taking 3 hours, if there is a train at all. It is untenable for this to continue.
It is. I mean, I was going to make the same point, really. It's the poor old passengers who are, you know, paying the price for this at the end of the day. And it reflects badly on the railway industry as a whole. You know, people are, you know, in future, where they're considering new jobs or new new places to live, they might think, well, you know, I could take the train, but maybe I'll find somewhere where I can drive more easily. And obviously the end result of that is going to be more congestion on the roads and more pollution and so on. You know, we want to encourage people to use trains because they're environmentally friendly and all sorts of other advantages.
Get everyone else off the roads. Well, for a lot of people, it's just not an option. You might be able to drive to work, but there's nowhere to park when you get there. But this is a bizarre thing. See, on Sunday it emerged that rail staff had been advised by union bosses to accept the new contracts after this 2K offer had happened. The RMT said there was no climb down, but as you say, they said their duty was to protect their staff, their members from mass sackings. But just before the start of today's three-day walkout, a legal challenge was issued by Southern Rail, and Southern Rail have said in a statement that it was considering all possible options to stop the strike, and that includes a legal challenge. Now, presumably, they'll have a pretty strong case on this, won't they?
Well, I don't know. I suspect they may feel that they have, or they may feel that they're just using a sort of a threat or a spanner in the works just to sort of shore up their case as much as possible, and the threat of legal action, you know, might force some people within the union to back down, or maybe, you know, as I said, it looks like both sides are digging their heels in, so maybe there'll be counter legal action from the RMT. Who knows? You'll find out soon, I suppose.
But this is, where does it end? Because if Southern Rail will no longer feel the need to back down because the deal has been accepted, they can go ahead. And bearing in mind, this all comes down to who presses a button to open and close the doors. Do you have this second member of what the RMT call safety critical staff on the trains for when people are on busy platforms, and you have someone, a second person on the train who can check that everything is safe and okay to set off? Yeah. If the RMT have accepted this, and Southern Rail can then get on with it, there is no way to resolve this, is there?
Well, on the face of it, no, you're right. I mean, the RMT, like I say, they haven't accepted it because they agree with it. They've accepted it to prevent their members getting sacked. So clearly the dispute and the disagreement goes on. I mean, on the issue of safety, I mean, I have to say we feel very strongly that human presence is very important on trains. So And I think from a safety point of view, the train operating companies are saying they're not going to get rid of staff, but they're going to change their roles. So if they're going to employ the same amount of people, why is it such a big deal? I mean, the actual issue of who presses the button, I think, is a little bit of a red herring. It's the implications that follow that. You know, will we get rid of staff on trains? And I think that's what the RMT are worried about. And obviously, we have concerns about that as well.
But we are in a strange situation with the RMT. And obviously, it's a point I'll put to Mick Cash when we speak to him in a couple of minutes. They say this is fundamentally not about money. It's about safety. Full stop. It's about safety. If they allow this to happen, then they're basically giving in on the safety issue. So does this suggest they've been playing us all along?
Well, I think it is about safety, but it's also about job security. You know, they don't want to see any redundancies, and Southern, I believe, will say, well, there'll be no compulsory redundancies. But, you know, they see it as a slippery slope sort of thing. From our point of view, it's a safety issue, and we would support that sort of presence on trains of some sort. But clearly, we've got to move with the times, you know. The railway is not the same as it was 50 years ago, and we don't have the same roles, and we have new technology and so on. So there's nothing wrong with change as long as safety is preserved. I suppose that would be our position.
Well, indeed. I mean, again, I suppose the main thing is it's passengers who are the ones who are suffering, but it's interesting who passengers are blaming. We heard only last week the Southern Rail had tried to cast the blame to the RMT, and it took out newspaper adverts suggesting that Southern Rail passengers tweeted and got in touch with the RMT to say how unhappy they were. As it was, it backfired, and people were saying, no, they blame Southern Rail. They think that Southern Rail are the ones who are responsible for poor service, lack of staff, cancelled trains, delayed trains. They don't seem to be blaming the union at all.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, you know, that's absolutely true. I've seen some of those tweets. They're quite hilarious, aren't they, actually? But, clearly Southern Railway have a lot of other problems, and they're not well-liked by the travelling public, quite understandably, you know, because of their poor service.
Although, to be fair, who does like their local rail service?
Well, I think there are some examples, you know.
But whenever I travel by rail, I get an email saying, thank you so much for choosing our service. I think, well, I didn't so much choose it. You were the only people running the trains on that track.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think people do love their trains when they work and when they're not overcrowded.
But good luck with that.
For many commuters, that isn't the case, you know. But like you said, they feel they have no choice. And but Southern are, you know, it seems even worse than the rest. And have had some very bad publicity. So it's not surprising that the general public side with the union. And I think, you know, the union may sort of very wisely be saying, look, we've got public opinion on our side on this one, let's press our case.
Yeah, well, all I can say is I don't think Southern Rail should take your PR advice from me. I don't think their new logo should be Southern Rail, even worse than the rest. Thank you very much for talking to us. Bruce Williamson, he's from the campaign group Rail Futures.